Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Yes, Brandy is back on this Wednesday morning. If you're listening through SEN 1170 AM, great to have your company. If you're listening on the podcast, belatedly, hope you've had a good day and thank you for tuning in right across the SEN network. Great to have your company. Fantastic that we can just put out a call in that first hour. Brandy's headed to Tamworth on Saturday to call the Tigers Knights game for Fox League. And people tuned in Tamworth or in and around Tamworth have come back with some fantastic advice, and it's all there. There's a hotel in West Leagues and Scully Park football field, all the same precinct, we're told, for your trip to Tamworth. You're going to love it. We've had a suggestion in the first hour that we try and move the needle in terms of appraisal of referees, that we actually have a referee of the week award, referee of the year. Could it work? Make the refs award a people's choice and name it the Hartley Awards, is Dragon Boy of New Zealand. This one, morning boys, love the idea of referee of the year at the Dally M's. I think a lot of people will find errors in their calls throughout the year and highlight those, though. On referees, this is the opinion of Chock of Calderwood, they should post stats on the officials too. I'd love to know how many times their calls have been challenged and overturned. I think Casey Badger had 5 get changed on Saturday. By the way, Casey Badger still on deck. Do you want to keep a stat and see? So is the referee of the year the referee who has the least captain's challenges unsuccessful from the teams?
No, I don't think we
would
can.
Would that be the ref of the year?
If we're, if we're going to hand out a ref of the year, there has to be other parameters that you measure it by.
Yes.
But that's a good start. We've had plenty of advice about who should be handing the award out at the Dally M's. Cameron Smith is top of the list.
Never gets old.
Steve Blocker Roach for the pat on the head. You should be there. And also Jared Weir Hargreaves, who...
Oh, that'd be nice. A little trio. And here is our distinguished guest, our entourage, Mr. Jared Weir Hargreaves. He acknowledges the crowd. Steve Blocker Roach, thank you. And Mr. Cameron Smith, former referee's boss, thank you. Brandy, you're back from Japan. Let's bang. We've got David Riccio coming up this hour. We're going to catch up with young shark Dan Atkinson, who's, you know, a rookie who's now 2 from 2 with competition leaders. Going to be good to hear his story. I caught him at the last World Cup playing for Italy, Dan Atkinson, so he's a story.
I saw that he played, and I'd forgotten that he played for Italy. Yeah. Daniel Atkinson made his debut for the Melbourne Storm. A few years ago, Vossie.
Yes.
Now, can I give a Champions League?
I think you better. Before we get back to Japan.
Borussia Dortmund have won the second leg 1-0 over PSG, so they go through to the final, Vossie. So that's one German side through. 2-0 on aggregate. Borussia Dortmund have cleaned up PSG. Real Madrid and Bayern to do a battle tomorrow. They come in all level at 2 goals apiece. Real Madrid, it will be in the stadium that I went to watch the weekend when I went to Madrid. Fantastic stadium. Great stadium.
Well, what about you? And so that's it as far as big matches are concerned for Mbappe and PSG. Now, Brandy is back from Japan. Just tease the listener. The top three. The top three things you did in Japan. You're only there for a short time, but you had a good time, a great time by the sounds of it. Yep. Rank your top three. Can you go 3-1, build up to what is the absolute... For anyone who hasn't been to Japan, Brandy's travel tips, cue the music, Matt.
Well, the rugby was a highlight, but let's just stick with the Japanese things, like just straight on Japanese. Well, Tokyo was a highlight. Tokyo was fantastic. Having never been to Japan, Tokyo was an eye-opener because of the people there. We stayed in a prefect, Shibuya, where they had the walkway, where there's a million people walk across the road all at once. It's madness.
A million
people.
Sure.
The bullet train was a highlight. Hiroshima was a highlight. We spent the day in Hiroshima. It's a beautiful city, and it was spine tingling. And we had a guided tour. We had a bike tour. We rode the bikes around Hiroshima, and it was fantastic. Wow. Spent 4 hours riding around Hiroshima with a tour guide, and it was brilliant. I'd definitely do that again. But the highlight was, Fossey, the highlight was the plastic food displayed at the front of restaurants. You could be
everywhere.
You could be going into a five-star restaurant and they got plastic food sitting out in the front window going, this is what we serve. There's brilliant stuff.
Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Brandy's top three from Japan. We'll repost that. We'll put that on the podcast, that little clip. And thank you for that backing music. Although, a suggestion that why don't we play the Vapors turning Japanese? Well, I think because I had to go to HR last time we played it on air. That's probably the reason. But there we go. Turning Japanese, Vapors. And final question. Could you live there, Brandy? Having spent some time there, is it just holiday destination? Or could you actually...
You could spend a fair bit of time there. Yeah, I think you could. Yeah, I think you could. It's well, the people make the country. The people are. I've never met. They are the politest country in the world. It's so. I think that would make it very livable.
All right. Well, you observed some Japanese rugby. You weren't exactly glowing in praise of the intensity or the athletic ability there. On the response to that, Adam says, Joey Manu will do 2 seasons in Japan, learn the game, top up with some cash in France, then play Super Rugby for 1 season and play for the All Blacks in the 27 Rugby World Cup. Remind you of anyone? SBW did it all and came back to win another NRL comp. So Adam's mapped out the future for Joey Manu. So you're saying that pretty much anyone could go across and play Japanese rugby out of the NRL?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Anyone. Anyone could go over
if you're an outside back and looking to make some cash, you 100% you could do it.
Do you remember South Sydney had a player, like this is absolute random, was it Andrew Everingham?
Yes.
Like he played a handful of first grade games, bang, jumps straight into Japanese rugby.
Now, didn't Gemet Shibasaki, who was playing for Souths this year, did he go to Japanese rugby as well from the Warriors, maybe?
Quite possibly, Gemet Shibasaki. He only just got released this week from Townsville Blackhawks, has been loaned to South Sydney and bang, straight into first grade because of the desperate injury plight there. David Riccio has all the other rugby league news. By the way, what's this, Greg? It's called Shibuya, not Shibuya. You got something wrong, have you?
Bondi Jack. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Bondo, for picking me up. Yeah. Shibuya. Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
There we go. We are here for Brighton's Lawyers. Best legal advice going. Keep their number handy. Keep it in your phone. 1-800-848-848. And Brandy, is there anything? Is there the David Riccio equivalent in Japan? That's a question I certainly want to ask. Let's go to the intro.
And now on Breakfast with Bossy and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
David, good morning.
Konnichiwa.
Ah, konnichiwa. Yes. Yes. Have you been there, Dave? Have you been to Japan?
I haven't been to Japan, guys. I was due to attend the Tokyo Olympics a couple of years ago, and unfortunately, due to COVID parameters, I was forced to stay home, so missed out on the opportunity. Brandy.
Okay, and are you a skier? Because apparently skiing is...
We can't, mate, it's footy season. It's winter is footy season. I just can't go down to the Perisher and Threadbow in footy season. I'm just too committed.
Yeah, but you can go to Japan. You can go to Japan in our summer and ski. Like, you can go in January and ski, David. I don't know whether I've got you there with a point. I don't think you've thought that one through.
okay. What is David Fifita going to do? Is he going to go to Panthers? Is he going to go to the Roosters? Or will he stay with the Gold Coast?
Well, Brandy, all the smart money yesterday afternoon was on your footy club, the Penrith Panthers, and winning the race for Fifita's contract. However, I can tell you that as of late last night, the Sydney Roosters were still attempting to woo Dave Fifita with a meeting with his manager late last night. So the Roosters are doing everything possible. I don't know if plastic food was involved last night. However, the Roosters are still attempting to woo Dave Fifita. But as I said, all the mail yesterday afternoon was that Dave was leaning towards the Penrith Panthers. Guys, there's a whole heap of spin-offs and domino effects from whatever decision David Fifita makes. And they begin with the Sydney Roosters, and that is the Angus Crichton. Angus Crichton's form has just been, he's in a purple patch.
How good? How good is he playing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now, what's the situation with Angus Crichton is, guys? He's got an option to go over and play European rugby with Montpellier, I'm pretty sure the club is. However, they're on the edge of relegation. Now, if they do get relegated, that deal with Crichton becomes null and void, and the Roosters would then are willing to then continue to play with Crichton next year. So, but at the same time, they're waiting for the David Fifita decision to determine how much money they've got in the cap to offer Crichton that extra year. So there's a fair little bit of movement still to come there. In the background to that, guys, is that in the next 24 hours, I dare say at some point today, we will get a decision on Dane Gagai. And that is a two-year offer from the Sydney Roosters or a current one-year offer with some little clauses and a potential option for a second year, not as guaranteed, at the Newcastle Knights. So, big decision for Dane Gagai. And that call by the Roosters to have a crack at Dane is obviously due to the plethora of outside backs that are leaving the club at the end of this year. So, look, a big day for the Sydney Roosters, guys, because it'll have a huge impact on whatever decision Dave Fifita makes.
Just on the David Fifita contract, David, so he's got until kickoff tomorrow night to make that, inform the Titans. Now, if he doesn't do that, does that mean that he won't be at the Titans? Is that it?
No, it's not. What happens, Brandy, is that he, as you said, he's got up until tomorrow night to tell the Titans. What happens is that the clause just becomes null and void. He then becomes basically a free agent for the rest of this season. The Titans can still have another crack to offer him another 2-3-4 year deal to stay. But he's effectively a free agent from the end of this round. And that's where my understanding is that both the Panthers and Roosters don't want this one to drag on, and that David is conscious of making a decision much sooner rather than later. He absolutely has the right to let this play on. He can let the Panthers and Roosters, if they want to play it, hang on. It can play out for another 2-3-4 weeks, months, if he wants to. But I just don't think the Panthers and Roosters will wait that long. And which is why they've come at this point in time when the clause can be triggered or not activated in Dave's situation.
Yeah. I asked Brandy the question, David. Yesterday, our conversation with listener was, what term would you give him? And Brandy's nominated 3 years. Others yesterday were saying 5. The other way around, the Titans, do you think the Titans would be better off without David Fifita? Given what that side needs, they can cover the back row, but they need to do something around 6 and 7 inside either now or certainly the next 12 months to 24 months. They need a war chest of money to sign big in that position.
Yeah, absolutely, Bossy. Couldn't agree more. And it's not in any way a slight on Dave Fifita, both the player and the man. Everyone that you speak to talks about an upstanding fella. Can't say a bad word about him as far as a person is concerned. But as a footy player, he's on huge money. As a back rower for a Gold Coast Titans side, that doesn't have the halves, the skillful halves, to set this man alight. They really don't, and that's why he's looking at the Panthers. Imagine dropping him into that back row position with Nathan and or whoever plays 5/8 next year for the Panthers, and so the same case for the Roosters. I'm with you, and that's where the next discussion will go, Vossi. If Dave Fifita does leave the Titans, it will spark what has only been rumours, suggestions, and otherwise at this point in time, and that is attempting to lure Jerome Hughes out of the Melbourne Storm. And that there's been a suggestion that family members of Jerome are keen to go back to the Gold Coast where they have more family to reside, and that is where the Titans could come in and make a significant play for Jerome Hughes. Now, you would make a case immediately the Titans look a better football team with Jerome Hughes in it, despite the fact that Dave Fifita wouldn't be in it. And that's where I think the Titans are at. I think they'd be starting to now think of what can we do if we lose Dave Fifita.
Yeah. Now, Eels young gun, is it Blaze Talangi you're talking about, who will take the spot of Clint Gutherson in this weekend's game at fullback?
Yeah, that's right, Brandy. And there's some significant news in relation to Blaze Talangi. And for Eels fans, it's not great because another clause in a contract, guys, Blaze Talangi, he had a clause, a trigger that would activate the 2025 season for him. He would be able to just stay and go again next year at Parramatta. He's decided not to activate that clause, effectively putting himself on the open market as of today. So Parramatta have a fight on their hands. They certainly absolutely want to retain him. But now Blaze is putting himself to the open market, and that is always a risk for the holding club. As you said, Brandy, he's been named in the one jersey this Friday night against the Broncos, and that's the position that a lot of the good judges at Parramatta believe that's where he will be in the future, the heir apparent to Clint Gutherson as Gutho's career comes to an end. So really significant development in relation to Blaze Talangi and the Parramatta Eels. It's going to be fascinating to see which clubs make a play for Blaze.
Oh, man, it's all happening. Again, I said yesterday, and I say it with respect to rugby union, it's not having a go, but what do rugby union people talk about? You don't hear about all of this. At the moment, the rugby union chatter, of course, is around here in Sydney. Darren Coleman is that it at the end of his contract, and Michael Checker is back in the mix. But you don't hear about this about player swapping or any. It just keeps rugby league bubbling along, David. It keeps you in work, keeps you busy. There is never a quiet day. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's like people say, player speculation moving clubs, but it does keep us talking about rugby league constantly, all the time.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And that's where the NRL, for that very reason, and a number of other reasons, but it's a large reason, is that the NRL are always interested in the potential end of season draft, like the AFL do, where it continues the discussion about your code, about your sport, all the way through till Christmas and into the new year. And that's what the AFL draft, once that season's over, they're still getting, front page, back page stories focused on the sport. And that's why the NRL won't close the door on a draft, because it just creates so much interest in the sport. And you dictate the headlines and dominate the pages of the newspaper by the constant movement of the players. I think, the NRL are at such a point now where, as far as the draft is concerned, that we've seen it. We speak about it all the time, guys, about here we are a couple of weeks before Christmas and we've got some of the biggest player moves still going on. But you're right, Vossi, it does. It creates mass interest and fans absolutely want to know where their players are heading and will they be able to retain them.
Yeah, it keeps going. And one last one, David, that's come up this morning. We had a texter talk about moving the needle for the referees, talking more positive terms, a referee of the week, a Dally M referee of the year. I'm throwing it at you, putting you on the
David,
spot.
Do you like it?
Do you have a thought? Do you like it? Could it work? Do you think would it be taken seriously?
Boys, my only concern with that is that it only creates even more spotlight and more attention on the performance of the referee when I think most fans would prefer the referee to be sitting in the background and not be a focus of attention, not be part of the game, so to speak. And that's my only concern. You start to introduce awards and prizes for the best referee, it's only going to create more spotlight and attention on the performance.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's not a bad point either.
He's a no.
Not bad. Well,
I don't mind the idea of something, though, positive.
The positive stuff's got to come from us, the people that talk about the game. That's where the positive stuff has to come from. And you don't have to, say every decision, which they should be making the right decisions, but every decision is a good one. But every now and then you do get the opportunity to say, well, that was pretty impressive from a referee, if he makes a call and gets it right. Maybe it's just us that talk about the game should be just a little bit more positive instead of hammering.
By the way, would the referee of the year, it's on the text, wouldn't the referee of the year just be the ref who gets the grand final? Wouldn't that just become like the obvious? Well, I say no.
Good point.
Because last year we had Ash Klein, sort of, he was like number one referee week one, week two of the finals. Then he has a clanger, then someone else had one. And Adam G was a bit like Stephen Bradbury. I'm not saying he didn't deserve the job, but two referees fell down before him on the back of mistakes, and he then got the grand final. So maybe if you announce the referee of the year at the end of 27 rounds, could work. Mm. No, David, can't get you. Can't get you
not
at all.
Not for me, guys.
No. Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Well, it was a good report, David. Yeah, it was great talking.
Brandy, while you're away, Matt Russell cut David Riccio off one day, and the world went. Stock markets fell, crashed. It was just because David did not get to sign off.
Right.
So can you throw to David Riccio for the end of the interview?
Dave, fantastic report. We'll talk tomorrow.
Hey, thank you, boys. Go well.
Oh, done like a true pro, both of you. Great to have you back, Brandy.
It's golden week here.
We're powered by Kubota. They've got the tractors. They've got the mowers. They've got the Land Pride attachments. Check them out. And the best sound system, there's only one place to look. That is Sonos. Baby, he's back. He's back from Japan. Greg Alexander, breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on this Wednesday morning. Can you believe it? Another round of the rugby league. The AFL begins tomorrow night. Team list Tuesday yesterday. We've covered some of the news there. Some stars returning, but obviously a huge drain on a lot of clubs. People asking us, Brandy, while you're away, by the way, here for Brighton's Lawyers, of course, unable to work due to injury or illness. Contact the great people at Brighton's Lawyers. People asking, are there more injuries this year than others? But I think it's just the high-profile nature. I don't think there's ever been a season where so many stars, like of the star category, the A-grade, not A-grade, I shouldn't use that term here. The
top of the shelf.
Absolute top shelf. The top shelf player is sidelined, and the likes of Adam Reynolds and Ryan Pappenhausen and Cameron Murray all added to that list last week. Can you remember a year like it? I think there's five captains are out, Brandy.
Yeah, no, probably not Vossie, but you'd be surprised. And you know, when we say, oh, there's more injuries this year than any other year, I think we've said that for the last, I don't know how many years. We keep saying that, but high-profile players, you know, get knocked out of the competition. But the length of injury, for the Titans to lose Tino, in the first round was shattering for them. But, Pappenhausen again injured, Gutherson knee injury, Nathan Cleary's missed games, Cameron Murray out for extended periods, Adam Reynolds gone now until the end of the year. There's some big names.
As of the weekend, a few of these will come back this week, but this was part of the injured list that the NRL physio put together, a squad of 17, and we said this would win the comp. Of course, it'd be over the salary cap, but it'd win the comp. Kalen Ponga, captain. Ryan Pappenhausen. Herbie Farnworth. Clint Gutherson, a captain. Hamiso Tabuai-Fido. There's your back line. Pretty good. Mitch Moses, Adam Reynolds in your halves. Adam Reynolds, captain. Forward pack. Cameron Murray at lock, captain. Tom Gilbert. Tyson Frizzell, Tino Fasua-Malawi, captain, Jamal Fogarty, Tom Flegler. Then you're going to have a reserves bench of Luke Metcalf, Murata Niokore, Tevita Totola, Corey Horsburgh. Bloody hell. How good's that 17?
Yeah, that's handy.
That would win the comp. You're right. Just on Herbie Farnworth, good news for the Dolphins. Herbie Farnworth has been picked to play this weekend for the Dolphins, which is very good news to get him back into the lineup.
And Tyson Frizzell's had to come back for the Knights. Brandy's off to Tenworth on Saturday. We asked earlier in the show if you got any tips for Brandy now that he's back from Japan. He took on board your advice while he was in Japan. Now he's off to Tenworth. Bit of a contrast. Where's some of the players? You're going to the Safari Club, apparently. You've been tipped into the Safari Club and the Dog Welders, Brewery.
The Welders Brewery. And the Observatory.
In Tenworth.
The Observatory.
Yep. So you've got a big weekend planned. Any other Tenworth advice for Brandy, shoot it in on the text 0457 736 736. People not happy with Vossi Oki, Brandy, this morning. Our song, Lost in Japan by Shawn Mendes, summed up by this text: scoop that song up and flush it. It's a Stan Jurd. Thank you for the reaction. That's wonderful stuff. Jared Waitley listens to this on hold. He's thinking, well, I wonder if I could have Jared Oki in my show down in Melbourne between 9 and 12. We're actually looking, we're in our studios, we're watching on a little Zoom call. It's first time, I don't think we've ever bothered
Jared,
to put
Jared's
head up. We can see you, Jared. Hello.
Lovely to see you both. Hi.
Love what you've done with your office. It's a lovely green wall.
Great backdrop.
The green screen. I can put anything you like up here. What backdrop do you want?
Japan. Brandy's missing Japan. His heart's there, Brandy. Jared, what's your experience in Japan? Brandy's gone there, loved it. Vending machines, plastic food, the trains, the people. He's been blown away by it.
Yeah, I've only heard about it. I would love to go there. And I guess for a few years, it looked like the Tokyo Olympics would be the opportunity to get there. And then the world closed in on us. So, yeah, it's a lot of families in our area have chosen the Japan trip over recent times while they've been catching up on cancelled trips from COVID and the vouchers and the like. So I've heard a lot of stories and would love to get there in the not too distant future.
You would love it, Jared. You really would. Now, we've spoken about this before. I'm pretty sure last year we went around the send-off rule or the lack of it in the AFL, whether it should come back in. John Longmire's had his say this week about it. Will that create more debate and will it move forward? Do you think anything will change?
I think this is a touchstone for the debate because John has presented it in a really logical and effective way. So he's had two games this year where players have been concussed in the first half by opponents who have been charged, pleaded guilty and suspended. So cut and dried incidences where concussions have resulted. Harry Cunningham got hit by Peter Wright of Essendon. Wright pleaded guilty, got a 4-week suspension. And then Tom McCartan on the weekend gets hit by Callum Brown. Brown pleads guilty, gets a 3-week suspension. So there's no, there are no variations here. There are no extraneous circumstances. You instantly recognise these as illegal acts that are going to result in suspension and the players are out of the game with concussion. And John's point is well made. There's no restorative justice. Is the Swans play the rest of the game a man short while the opposition player gets to continue on and he serves his suspension against other teams. So if you wanted to distill it to the most simple cases, I think John's done that very effectively. We live in fear of implementing something that we've never had on the basis that, well, what if they get it wrong? Ignoring the fact that in the sports that have it, they get it wrong all the time. And it is a controversy and it is a consternation, but it sort of works its way through. I feel like over time, this will gain momentum. And I think as the restrictions around concussion get tighter and tighter, it will become more and more relevant. But I thought yesterday was that's as plain and logical and simple and effective a way as it's ever been presented by a coach.
As you were speaking there, it did trigger off. I think the last time we had this discussion, Jared, my advice to you, and I was hoping you would then preach it to the masses there, it is not the fear of sending off a player who's later exonerated that you should be worried about. It's the not sending off of a player that becomes the controversy, more so than the it's rare that a player wrongly gets sent off and gets exonerated later, particularly when you have video bunker, you know, review during game. But it's the person that just stays on when another game earlier in the season the bloke went off. That's the big controversy that you will then, that's the can of whoop ass you will open, Jared.
So I think
you're welcome to it.
If you use the parameters of the player who gets ruled out of the game for concussion, And that's where you limit it to. So if I lose my player because of your illegal act, then that's the one that gets looked at. If my player's okay, don't worry about it. Then just let the system work its way during the week. But I feel like there's a way. Well, John made it. I'm not a huge advocate for it, but this is the first time where the way John laid it out, you go, yeah, I could actually see a world in which that works pretty neatly.
Mm. Do AFL umpires come under the same scrutiny that NRL umpires referees do?
Yes.
Do you talk about umpires and umpiring decisions on your AFL 360 show?
So only from time to time. We try not to bog ourselves down in it, but collectively, absolutely. And there is, I feel like there's an obsession in every decision that happens. It colours the call of the game. It colours the analysis of the game. Sometimes it's absolutely relevant. We had a game decided a couple of weeks ago on the siren where a ruckman, Sam Draper, sort of frog splashed on the ball, and it wasn't paid as holding the ball. And then the siren sounded. So Adelaide probably should have had a shot after the siren to kick a goal. And the next day it gets analysed within an inch of its life. And then the edict comes from the AFL as to whether the decision was correct or not. And sometimes they go, well, from the umpire's perspective, it looks like this and we understand that. But the law as it applies is this. The one thing we don't allow, Brandy, where I think is a very useful difference, is we don't allow the coaches to appeal to that lowest common denominator of the umpires robbed us. So that is a total no-no. It would get as extreme a penalty as there can be for a coach in the game. And sometimes we look at some of what happens in your post-matches and go, that just fuels the hatred and it feeds to the lowest core of the fan base who always think they're getting stiffed by the refs.
Just in those post-match press conferences, can the referee talk about a decision and say, I thought it was wrong? He doesn't question his integrity. Can a coach discuss the referee or a decision, not question the referee's integrity about, well, he favoured that team today, but can he just be black and white about a call?
No. No, we run a really hard line on that. So coaches will, in the past, our most famous have been, well, I can't talk about the umpires, and today I really can't talk about the umpires. That's sort of as close as you can get to it.
The lines.
Yeah,
yes.
And then it's for us. Yeah. It's for the commentariat to dissect from there. And a lot of the time, this is, and Aussie rules is such a curious game, is a lot of the time both decisions can be right. So the answer isn't always within the rule or the law, which is really weird. And it's one of the quirks that it either makes the game charming or it makes the game infuriating to follow, is depending on the umpire's interpretation of what happened as to whether the free kick was to be paid or not.
Well, that is the same in rugby league. Jared, that is the same. It's all about the interpretation of the rule and how the referee sees it. And where we might get, you know, 10 commentators say, I saw it that way, but another 10 will say, well, I saw it the same way as the ref did.
Yeah. So we can ever get to the right point there is
how good.
Yeah.
Jared, I want to assure you, if a rugby league coach came out and said we were robbed, he would get the fine. It'd be a $10,000 fine. Would happen these days. There's no way a referee would get away with using that language saying that the referee was one-sided or we were no hope of winning today. Inferring that there was something contrived, $10,000, you know, hand your credit card over. It would happen.
Yeah, well, sometimes have the view that your coaches think that's money well spent.
Sometimes they do.
Yes.
Don't doubt
that's
that.
That's right.
Jared. Very, very well picked up, Grasshopper. Well done.
Jared, we've got a couple of females who are they're in charge of matches again this weekend. Do the AFL have any females as senior refs?
Yeah, so Eleni Gluftis has been a field umpire probably for about 10 years. I reckon she's currently on maternity leave, but she's cracked the glass ceiling. So we have a lot of female umpires who are goal umpires, but Gluftis was able to work through the ranks and become a regular senior umpire. And I think the hope is that that lights the way. There was a study done last year around what the inhibitors for female umpires are. And through the pathways, a lot of that revolves around abuse. So why would you subject yourself to that through the suburbs and through the ranks? It's a much safer environment at the top level, and the players have made that so, different from the crowds, but not the same on the pathways through. So there's that awareness piece and the investment, and then the question of how to try to solve that or better that experience for teenage umpires who have the aspiration to live it. It's a it looks like a, even when you go and go to the community footy on the weekend, it looks like a thankless task, doesn't it? So trying to improve that experience, male and female. But yeah, there was a bit of study done last year around how to make it a more attractive profession.
We had Dane Zorko on the program Monday. He was part of, he was filling in for Heels. So we crossed to the Queensland Breakfast Show, and Dane was great because he came on having played Sunday night, you know, public holiday, admittedly, but he came on and we paid him a time and a half. but anyway, that's another issue. Now, he did make the admission with that umpire you mentioned. He felt different. He would speak differently. He would pull back. Do you think that would be mainstream opinion of AFL players when there is a female official?
I think we would have seen that. Yeah, as players were much less likely to be demonstrative or in any way overbearing on disputed decisions. I feel like that would be a true representation through the player group, which makes for a fascinating dynamic, doesn't it? As to the how and the why and the male mind, it would go that way. But yeah, I suspect, so Dane's fearless on these things. I suspect if you polled most players who had played in games officiated by a female umpire, they would say that their attitudes were different toward her.
I was away when the 2020 World Cup side was announced, Jared. Does Jake Fraser-McGurk have any ability to worm his way into that side? Is there any wriggle room left for the selectors to say, well, okay, I think he does deserve to be in there?
So he can be the travelling reserve, Brandy. He can be the 16th player. And you can only have 15 in your squad. And if there is an injury, you can then be promoted. You replace across the World Cup campaign, and it has to be endorsed by the competition's medical staff and the like. So I think he will travel with the squad and be the 16th. But have you had your coffee this morning, Brandy?
I've had a coffee.
Yeah, so as soon as you finish, rather than having another coffee, just go and hook yourself up to Jake Fraser-McGurk, one over, the fourth over of the Delhi Capitals today. So it's at about the 24-minute mark of the KO replay. I'll give you the spoiler. Fraser-McGurk goes 4-4-4-6-4-6. And he goes from 22 off 13 to 50 from 19. And it's the best thing you'll see all day. And it confirms that he is the most electrifying hitter at that competition. He is the most threatening batter around the world right now. And he's not in Australia's World Cup squad for reasons that, while I understand, I absolutely disagree with.
Yep, I'm with you. Well said, Jared. So there we go. We've got advice. We've been told. Now, last one. Here you go, Jared, without notice. Harry Voss made his AFL debut last week with South West Sydney.
Well done, Harry.
He came up a winner. And I got to say, he was buzzing. He loved the contact, you know. He loved the physical part of it because it was a wet day up here, so game was a bit sloppy. So there was a lot of, you know, get your head over the ball stuff, and he loved it. What are junior numbers like in AFL across Victoria, across Australia? Are you ready to preach? Are they going strongly? Is there work to be done? Where's the growth area in AFL? Are there more girls playing?
It's huge. And like a lot of sports over the past 5 or 6 years, the explosion in numbers around the women's game. It's been challenging for resources and facilities, but clubs now run in tandem. So my involvement with our local footy club, we're in the under 12s. Ours is still a mixed comp, but there's boys and girls teams all the way through the age groups. So that has been incredible and far too long in coming. And then it's just rushed forward at such a rate. So yeah, as I feel like you and I have discussed this, Vossie, is rugby league and Aussie rules are absolutely soaring at the moment, and not just at the elite level, but at everything underneath. our local footy club plays, they play all day long. We've got the 8 a.m. game on Sunday, and there'll still be games going at 4 o'clock. So the participation numbers are huge in South Australia and Western Australia, but Queensland's been the real growth market for that, and what that looks like long term. So, yeah, is what Harry's experiencing is pretty common across childhoods around the country at the moment.
You'll be calling him.
I can't wait for it, Bossy.
He'll be drafted 5-6 years. You'll have a line ready.
Yeah, the night he plays, you're going to come and join me in the box. I won't put you on the mic, but we might sit through it together.
You can hang around up there, yeah.
He's on the school run now. He'll be blushing. Good on you, Jared. Have a great day. 9 to 12 there in Melbourne. Love hearing your thoughts. By the way, on the text, a nickname for Jake Fraser McGurk. Has it been said before? Fraser Berserk?
Yeah. So his nickname? On the boards in India, they flash up McGurk goes berserk. And it's, it's really neat when it happens.
All right, there we go. Oh, no, we'll throw one last question. Craig wants to know, Jared, do goal umpires become field umpires, or are they two different skill sets? Does everyone who is a goal umpire want to be a field umpire?
No, they're totally different. And it's a really good question. I must ask it one day. But no, the streams are completely different and no crossover.
Okay, there we go.
Jared,
so we've ended up with a few questions.
Seeing you this morning too.
Good stuff.
Yeah, you do look well.
Good to
and
talk.
Clothed. Good to see you. Fully clothed for your program today, Jared. None of that Hawthorne Cinema stuff that you dabbled in there a while back. Good on you, Jared.
Cheers.
Jared Waitley, one of the best broadcasters in the country, if not the best, heading up the SEN team. 22 and a half after eight. Brandy, so you've caught up on the news. Jake Fraser McGurk, Brandy. Think of controversial selections over
today.
Time. His omission. Yeah, it's just wrong. You do have your time.
Didn't sound right when the team came out. I thought it would cause a bit of controversy, Vossie, and obviously it has. So, anyway, he went berserk. McGurk, berserk.
That's it. We're here for Bryden's Lawyers. Unable to work due to injury or illness, contact Bryden's Lawyers. This is Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the home of sport, SEN. Come on. He's back. He's now only got half an hour to go. But we've been looking forward to this chat all morning. It's not always about talking to the stars of the game. I feel we in the media have a duty to bring other personalities, and it's good to hear their stories. And everyone has a story. And this young man has come in circumstances that were out of his control, but he's now playing first grade. He's 2 from 2 in the last fortnight. He's playing 5-8. For the Cronulla Sharks, but in his backstory, and I got to call him, Brandy, at the World Cup, the last World Cup, playing for Italy. And there was one night playing against Australia. Italy got beaten 66-6, but Daniel Atkinson, who to that point had only played one NRL game, found himself up against an Australian backline. Can I read it to you? The backline for Australia that night that Daniel Atkinson found himself up against was Tedesco, Campbell Graham, Latrell Mitchell, Valentine Holmes, Murray Taulagi, the halves were Daly Cherry Evans, Nathan Cleary. And there's Daniel Atkinson, seen as a leader in his team, because there's not much NRL experience across the side. Nathan Brown was the captain of that Italian side. Atkinson lined up in the centres. We have Daniel Atkinson online right at the moment. Daniel, welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy.
Hey, Vossie, Brandy, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that doesn't sound much like an Italian accent, Daniel, I must say, right off the top.
I've been told that multiple times.
Can we go there first of all? Just starting that part of your story, that must have been an unbelievable feeling, playing at the World Cup for Italy. How did that come about? But two, what was it like strapping on the boots those days, running out against an Australian side of that quality?
It was unreal still to look at it now. I get the Italian heritage from my mum's side. Both my mum's parents are Italian. My middle name's Alfonso, which was my Nunnel's name, which is granddad. I still remember getting ready to jump on the bus to head to the Australian game. I was rooming with Jake Mazin, who I played with at Sunny Coast Falcons. And I was like to him, we're about to do this. We're about to versus Australia. Growing up my whole life, watching, idolising those players and to think I was going to be opposing them. Yeah, I still pinch myself to this day.
Wow, yeah, that's a moment that you'll never forget, Dan. You played first grade for Melbourne in 2021, and you're a Queenslander, aren't you? Just tell us a bit about your background story, where you grew up playing footy. How did you make your way to the Melbourne Storm? I know they've got feeder clubs up there. Was that the reason?
Yeah, I just grew up playing local league at Albany Creek Crushers, and then I went to a big union school called Nudgee College. Played first there for a couple of years, so I stopped my league in under 15. And then once school finished, I went to North Devils to play Melbourne Inga. And that's when I actually got picked up by Storm. We versed East Tigers and Dane Campbell at the time, who's now at Cowboys, got me to the Storm for the following 2 years. And yeah, that was the time of my life too down there.
Okay. Now, were you a number 10 in rugby?
I was fullback.
Okay. And because I've just come back from Japan watching schoolboy rugby, I think schoolboy rugby is fantastic, and it doesn't seems to lose something between schoolboy rugby and super rugby. They're almost like two different games. Did you enjoy playing school rugby?
Yeah, like school rugby, playing for Nudgee was definitely a highlight in my life. Like the school atmosphere and school environment, it was almost like the local derby at Shark Park the other day. Like, All the school kids get into it, all the parents. I think we had 10,000 at our premiership game against PSS. So, like, the environment that school rugby sets, it sets the standard pretty high.
Was Caelan Ponga a Nudgee boy, or was he a different school?
No, he was a bit before me. He was at Churchy along with Jaden Sewer, Brody Croft. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they had a gun back line.
Just at Melbourne, Daniel, I think I had in my notes somewhere along the line, I recall, who presented you with your jersey? You played one NRL game for Melbourne, as Brandy mentioned, in 2021, but there's a little bit of Cronulla synergy, as it would turn out, with who presented you your jersey. Is that right?
Yeah. Dale Finucan actually presented me my jersey. He had a milestone two of the night, so it was pretty special then to be able to play with him at Sharks too.
Yeah. There you go. So you've got the Dale Finucan present your jersey, then you're playing alongside him. Now, just so people know, I mean, you don't exactly rocket into first grade. You've found your place there now, but I go over last year and said, Daniel Atkinson, well, I saw him in the preseason challenge, played really well, but then when it came to the NRL, would I be right in saying you played 2 minutes of first grade last year?
Yeah, I think I got activated as 18th man against Melbourne down in Melbourne last year.
Yeah, so that was it.
Okay, so 2 minutes. Because I remember being at... I was there too on the Central Coast that day, and I remember you having a great game for the Sharks in the pre-season challenge. And you must be enjoying getting another crack. And, you know, sometimes, whether it's through injury or other circumstances, you find your way into a side, you just have to take your chance, Dan. And two wins from two.
Yeah, I think... After the whole Melbourne situation, I went back to work and I'm playing Q Cup footy for the Falcons. I sort of learned, like, these opportunities don't come often. And, like, whether how your opportunity comes up, you just got to sort of take it with both hands.
Hey, Daniel. Daniel Atkinson is our special guest, rookie with the Cronulla Sharks, and giving a bit of his backstory to the here and now. I mean, the place must be jumping. I mean, top of the table, just the one defeat, albeit very tough draw coming up, but you do what you do each week. The club must be so positive at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely, we've got a good culture going on at the moment. The boys are real tight. Yeah, we don't look too far ahead. We just take it week by week and see where we can improve.
Okay. Well, you got the Storm this weekend. So you're up against the club where you made your debut. They've got a couple of players out. I've gone the early crow, Dan. I think you can get the Storm down there.
I don't know. It'll be a good game. Looking forward to it. Especially part of Nico.
Oh, well done. Straight bat, Daniel. See, Brandy was trying to get you there to say something outrageous, like, yeah, we're certainties, we'll smash them, you know. But you played it very well for a rookie. You know, Brandy's a very tough interviewer. You'll learn that. He's very much Ray Martin-esque, has that reputation that he can pin you to it. Daniel, let's ask some broad questions. What's the best thing now, and you are playing for, what's the best thing about being an NRL player?
I think just the excitement each week, to be honest, just opposing the best of the best players each week.
What do you think? Now, we've been talking referees this morning, and we were surprised, or sort of, that there's only been three players marched this year for back chat. Do you think, and have you just, and because referees have been in the, you know, in the news over the opening couple of days of this week, what do you think the discipline of players and the way they talk to referees, do you think it's, you know, would you give it a 10 out of 10? Where would you say that is? Because I think the discipline in players has improved dramatically over the last few years.
You can imagine Craig Fitzgibbon being pretty strict, Dan.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, no player has the intentions of saying anything bad at all to the ref or players. It's just the heat of the moment. You're trying to win a game, and like, you're not going to let anything come in between that. It's just fine for your team. But me personally, you wouldn't see me talking back to a ref, not this early on. I think the game's come a long way, and yeah, I think the players are aware of situations that can happen now.
All right. Well, as I say, Dan, not often. We've had some. Like, there's been some great names play for Italy, James Tedesco being one, and he played in the centres, like you did. Anthony Minicello was playing fullback in that Italian side. It is great to have you on the program, Daniel Alfonso Atkinson. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah, it's good. It's great hearing the story. So there you go. Like, it sounds like straight away, first time we've ever had Daniel Atkinson on the show. Don't know whether he's even done an interview on any media outlet, but straight away, I think he sounds like a really good bloke. You know what I mean? Like, he's just done himself a service. He sounds like a really good bloke who appreciates what opportunity he's been given. He spoke so glowingly about his schoolboy days. Good on you, Dan Atkinson. I'm pretty sure that's a positive, you know, tick from everyone who tuned into that interview, Brandy. Young player. Yep. Gets you excited, do you? Would you have been able to handle that, you know, early in your career? Three games in, what would your interview have been like, Brandy, if we went back into the archives?
Horrible. I could barely spit a word out. Like, I'm Vossy. I remember being so nervous, and that was straight out of school. But I could barely put two words together. It was. I'd walk away from an interview, and it was almost like making your debut as a player, where you weren't sure what just happened. You're thinking, what did I say then? Because like that, when you first start playing first grade, you come off the field and go, boy, what happened? Like, it's all a blur. That was like my interviews. My early day interviews were like, I could have said anything and I wouldn't have known.
We've got to try and dig one out. There must be something in the archives. We've gone back. We've got your Sale of the Century stuff that you did. But now we have to go back and find some early Brandy. So we're talking 84, are we? 84? Well, did you do, can you recall doing an interview even before, like 83? Would you have done something?
I did interviews.
The Warragamba Post or something?
Yes, I'm sure there's something out there from end of 83.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's our quest, folks. Can you please Google right now, find some early Brandy. 14.5 to 9. We are powered by Kubota. Our sound system is Sonos. And more sport to come the other side of this.